have this. So thanks to Jorge for creating this. I think this is pretty much, I think it's in the right level of abstraction. The only thing that we need to do to make this more descriptive is to find out which of these require more space.
Okay.
More paper space. And then say that, well, we want to do all these things, but for that we need extra space. And some things we can do even without extra space.
Well, concurrency probably requires most of the space, because we currently don't talk much about it. We have to probably add a paragraph or so.
Right. And what about the pointer detection?
Pointer detection too. That would be probably two paragraphs more.
So you can say that we have more information and more data.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not more data, but more description available for how we deal with these problems, but we had to leave them because of lack of space. We'd like to address them, so if we can get half a page or one page more, then we can address this. I think
okay.
That's the part that's missing, but otherwise, this is pretty good. So let's just make sure that what you're suggesting here is doable.
Okay.
Right? I think the first bullet is straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It's a writing question. Issues with concurrency. This is, we sort of addressing it with writing, saying that if you implement it inside the OS, is that what this means?
Yes.
So concurrency is two things, right? One is, even with multiple threads, when they share a container,
mm-hmm.
they issue checkpoints. How do we deal with that concurrency? I don't know if we address that enough in the paper.
No,
to say that we have the stop the world model. I think we have to address that regardless of whether we get extra space or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
So I think that this bullet probably needs some expansion.
Okay.
Whether the concurrency is because of within a single process, multiple threads or multiple processes. To deal with multiple processes, we have to develop an OS level solution.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that. Multiple threads, do we address it? We do.
Multiple threads, you have to stop the whole semantic.
So I think that we can do you guys have any thoughts on that?
What do you mean by multiple threads?
Multiple threads issuing checkpoints and
on the same container.
On the same container. Can we support that?
I think that's okay. You just need to lock and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So lock what? I think we have to be clear about that. Right? Lock what? What are we locking?
We're locking execution while we calculate the closure.
We need to sequentiate them, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that
we don't do that, but we do the write is sequentiated already. If a checkpoint is in progress, the next checkpoint needs to wait until the checkpoint is done. But just the part that writes to this, the calculus of the closure is not.
Hmm.
Don't have that check, because we do the calculus of the closure using the same thread. We have that check because we have the checkpoint in a different thread.
Right.
For the write part.
Yes. But if we have multiple threads, then we'll have to serialize them.
Yes.
Even the closure part. Right?
Yes.
That shouldn't need to be the medium,
no. That shouldn't be. But I was thinking on the other problem when you have the container sharing problem. Two different container sharing.
Well, that will require a kernel level solution.
Why?
And two containers sharing the same
data.
The same data is fine.
We don't support that, right?
Two containers sharing the same data, it's not fine.
What
because you don't know where
to
two
different routes points to the same.
Or where to move it to?
Mm-hmm. Because then it will be two containers sharing one chunk.
All right.
So which of the chunks do you move it to?
And that don't depend on being on the kernel or not, because you can have
that
with threads. So it would be the same problem.
Yeah, so it's not as straightforward. There are some subtleties that need to be addressed.
So we'll have to expand this bullet to address those those different cases, which is data shared by multiple containers. We don't support it, and we'll describe that.
Yeah, I think we talk about that in the last session, in the discussion session.
We do.
Let me check.
Check it here.
I'm almost sure about that.
Check it here.
Okay. In the discussion session. Section.
Sharing memory data across containers within a single address space is supported. So there's something wrong here. So we say that these containers can be independently checkpointed, and each container would store a persistent copy of the data.
Yeah, that's not correct. Think about it. Then sharing container data persistently is not supported.
But even in memory, it's not supported, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we have to rewrite that.
Yeah. I was probably the one writing this part, and I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote it. I wasn't thinking enough.
yeah, hopefully the things that reviewers were also probably tired by the time they got to the part.
And I was I was writing, and I was also pretty tired by the time I got here. But yeah, you're right. I mean, since we move memory, and we are moving memory to disjoint locations, then they cannot be shared anymore, right? So that's true. So even memory sharing is not easy. Okay, so I guess we'll have to expand this sharing and concurrency bullet and talk about it. Because this, I think, is probably a small part of the response.
Right? You think so?
This is
because you mean only that?
Yeah.
Yes. We have to address it.
Yeah.
In a more complete manner.
But we do have to say that it supported multiple threads sharing the same container.
Mm.
That is supported.
Yes.
Or multiple threads with different containers without sharing that.
That
is also support.
Yeah. And well, in that case, also processes.
If they have different, then
devices.
They need different devices.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's what we do on MPI.
That's the part that Jorge is addressing here, right? Saying that you can actually have multiple processes use the same devices we build in OS level sleeping.
Well, we can say that they can. Remember, we can write to a file, so.
No, but if they write all unsynchronized, then the file is messed up.
No, different files.
Different files.
But then you lose all your optimization. So.
That's true, but
that's
if you say different devices, then people might think about how many hard disks they have to have.
Oh, yeah. Well, could be different partitions also, given a single device. Okay, so pointer detection. And
I think the tricky part is the overhead of pointer tracking.
The overhead, right.
And then the third one.
Yeah. So we might have to say a little bit more about how.
For the third one?
How we plan to address.
For the third one, you should just only compile the libraries that has objects inside the container. If you're not using any object from any library,
I think that's a good point. If people may be mistaking that the requirement as any library use need to be translated with SOFTBM, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
right? It's only in cases where there are pointers going into libraries and you actually want to persist them or something, right?
Which is very weird.
Yeah, so we need to talk about that.
Well,
then we have to write that in...
MPI is a library that has all different people's use.
Yeah, because it seems like some reviewer may have mistaken this requirement as a regardless of what library you're using and how you're using it, you need to translate it using software.
Right.
That's not true.
In that case, there's a second option as well. Because, I mean, you only have to make that persisting if you have a pointer that goes into the library, and you want to make that persisting. But there might be another option, which is manually reinitializing the library, which we use in SQLite. Let's say that if your library somehow internally keeps a state, and you want to make that state persistent, maybe the library also supports some mechanism to reinitialize that state.
Yeah, that's what we do with MPI. We don't use any of the MPI.
If you don't have to make anything persisting in the library.
You could just exclude that point to the library and don't include it in the container.
Right. So in the response email, Jorge, I think we have to say that the paper is already fairly dense and we would really like to address all of these comments, but we don't see how we can do a good job without getting half or one additional page.
Okay.
I think we have to state that. Do you think do you think we can get additional space?
Yeah, and probably if not, then how can we prioritize between this? Based on the committee, on the PC.
Yes, committee. Exactly. We can also say that we can also maybe say how much extra space we would need.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter page, half page, so on, or one quarter of a column. That sort of. Otherwise, this looks good. You guys have any other feedback? The pointer detection probably can benefit from half a column at least. What about the evaluation? I think for the evaluation, the main question that was asked is with respect to the overhead, right? The runtime overhead of pointer tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of data can we present there?
I think we already have in place the infrastructure to measure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can present all profile.
The all profile?
No,
I remember we hand coded measuring
time. How much time to.
Okay. That's probably
the micro benchmark?
No.
The micro benchmark?
I have it in the
code
software, so any application can be profiled. The question is which application to profile?
Inside software, we wrote code to measure how much time each operation takes.
Okay.
It's kind of tricky, and I'm not 100% sure that it's correct.
Okay.
But it's there.
Just every time that you call to pointer at, we have a piece of code that takes the time of executing that.
And aggregate those things.
Okay. And we would also have to present, so that overhead is certainly important to report, but the impact of the overhead is also important to report. When I say impact, I mean, does the execution time change because of that overhead significantly, right? And if it probably will change a little bit, but how much is the impact of that overhead?
So that's my question. On which application are we doing that? Because on MPI, you don't see any impact. But on SQLite, if you run the benchmark, the impact is really big.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So depending on what application you have defended.
In SQLite, the numbers we report already account for the overhead, right?
Yes,
but what I'm saying is on the benchmark.
It depends on
SQLite that we did for the previous submission on FAST.
Hmm.
because on this mission we did some micro benchmark written by you, I guess.
That we managed, that we changed the density of pointers in that.
No, but the part that is still like, it was just adding in the table, and that's
right.
It. But for the previous submission, we used some benchmarks of SQLite that we found over the internet.
I think
just
we should use the benchmarks that we did, that we use in this current paper, and that's it.
Okay. So the other issue is that a lot some reviewers were asking, where do the benefits come from? In just the way that we write?
Ah, yes.
And we have to clarify that.
Yeah.
And say, okay, SQLite writes like this, and we write in a log fashion, and probably that's where some benefit comes from, and stuff like that.
An incremental point.
Yeah, an incremental. Yeah, and when is it? When, in which cases is incremental? In which cases, not, and all that. We have to clarify all that.
I remember reading one thing about some size and small changes forcing to write a lot.
Right, and I think we can remove this part. For instance, in particular review array, right? You don't have to say that stuff about the minor changes.
Okay.
Because that might imply that we are not going to we may not be careful about incorporating the other reviews.
The one in which you make small changes in the container, you can, that does fix, that issue to fix, just change the size of the container. What is it?
The chunk.
The chunk, right. So that's not a problem.
Yeah, but
I mean, you run your application and you see that it's happening. How do you know that that is happening?
The
question was, okay, what happens if you have very small changes on a chunk, and then you have to write that
entire chunk?
The entire chunk, right? So the solution for that would be to fine tune
the chunk size.
Right?
Yeah.
But how do you know that? How do you know that that's happening?
How do you know what is the optimal chunk size? Is what you're asking.
Right.
That would depend on the application, that would depend on this, on the storage device performance, right, on both factors. It's similar to tuning a file system, right? How do you allocate, how do you distribute files across directories based on some allocation method that the file system is implementing, right? So those are the, I guess, this the equivalent problems with the current
technology. What happens is that after you create the first checkpoint, after you initialize your device, and you create the first checkpoint with the given container size, you cannot change that.
Chunk size. Yeah, I guess we cannot really change that. That's true. So the administrator or whoever programmer has to specify the chunk size.
But I think it's feasible to parse the device and change the container size to different device. That is possible to do.
The chunk size.
So say that you have a device and
you're talking about chunk because you're saying container, but I think you mean chunk.
Right, I mean chunk.
Yeah.
Right. You have a device in which you have multiple checkpoints. Right. You can parse that and rewrite everything to a different device in which you fine tune the to change the size of the chunk. That is possible to do.
I guess it is, yeah.
The only thing that you have to respect is that dependency is the size of the chunk and the size of the bitmap with all the versions.
I'm thinking on Lima metadata. Do we maintain chunk ID associated with something? Or just Lima ICs? Because if we maintain chunk ID, then we cannot.
Okay, so I don't think we should go into this level of detail. We can say that the chunk size is something that the administrator has to figure out based on the workload and based on past experience. Right, and it's, we don't even have to say anything in the paper. If someone asks a question in the Q&A session, then we can say that chunk sizes are something that are determined based on the device as well as the workload locality. And if there is a benefit to using large chunks with a new device, then, you know, and that's one reason to increase the chunk size.
I remember that it was beneficial to set the chunk size to the
erase unit
of the
SSD,
right?
I think that's a very good point. I mean, it makes sense because by writing erase unit size chunks, then we optimize the garbage collection that's going on inside the SSD. Right? Because the FTL, if you write part of a block in erase block inside the SSD, then there's more garbage collection over there. You have to copy parts of it out and then. So
we don't have anything of that implemented, I think.
But I think we choose a chunk size that's at least one erase unit and maybe multiple erase units. Can you use a 1 megabyte chunk size, right?
So
or something like that?
The idea on SSD would be to alignate these chunks to the erase units.
Yes.
And then also use the align.
Align, yes.
And also use the print commands to erase them, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a really good use of that new interface to tell the SSD that something is not being used.
Then you avoid garbage collection.
And then you
trim.
Can avoid.
I don't know how you invoke trim from user space. No.
Well, you could have. You need to do it inside the OS, but conceptually it can be done.
Yes, conceptually it can be done.
So Leo, you're going to be giving the talk in the end certainly. I mean, there may be lots of questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good that we're going through some of these questions.
I think we will have to do like 2 or 3 rounds of practice.
Yeah.
I mean, if he goes to Fusion, he should do one there.
Yeah.
And well, if he's there, then we could do the others over the phone.
It might be good to take advantage of all the people here, just to take the
feedback,
the sample of questions.
Yes.
From the regular audience.
Going to be?
So
maybe using one of the seminars.
How do we do it though?
The graduate seminar.
Graduate seminar?
Maybe just
one.
I think they're all taken. The rest of the slots are taken by other students. But there may be some students who are willing to give up their slot. Hello. Yep, go ahead. I'm in a meeting. It's going to be. Okay, I'll call you. Right, so you can check with Professor Chen to see if there is a slot available. There are only 2 or 3 weeks, maybe towards the end of this month or something.
So it's in June, right? Middle of June, so we have April, May, June. So we have about
but there
2 months.
I don't think there's anything in the summer.
But no.
And you're not going to be here during the summer anyway.
No.
You're gone. So whatever talk needs to happen would be within this month. And that's really challenging because many other things going on as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to Fusion. How can we do the practice talk? Maybe on Skype or something like that we can do it. Yeah? That seems to be the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do that then.
You're going to Fusion
soon? I'll be visiting them on 18th or 19th of this month.
That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep, so coming back to this, I think those are the major points. So
okay.
You can revise.
Yes, I already wrote down some of the.
And then I can do,
comments.
And I can look at it quickly, and then we can send it out. The main thing is to maybe say just a few words about how we're going to address the comment.
Yes, I already wrote down here and I put an estimate of how much space we need for each thing.
Perfect. Okay. Okay, then we can exchange an email and, and send it out to the shepherd. Okay. Are we missing anything from the reviews? Do you guys remember anything else besides this?
No.
All right. Okay, so now coming to the other topic, which is the versioning paper. And it's April 27th, right? So
yeah.
There's hardly any time remaining. So I mean, although I was kind of positive last week, I don't feel like we'll be able to do a good job with the April 27th deadline. What do you guys think? Especially because I know Leonardo is working on an OSCI paper. Daniel is working on the SOCC paper. So I don't know what you guys think. I mean, do you think we can still push something out?
I think it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Given what you said, mm-hmm. that they're working on
mm-hmm.
on other papers that are also in the pipeline. And things that I don't know, if we don't do it now, then when are we gonna find the time to do it?
Hmm. That's true. That's true as well. I mean,
what?
We'll have to wait until after the summer to continue work on this. That would be the only time.
Yeah,
I think about it.
But after the summer, I won't be here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would be, I guess, a lot harder for me to actively collaborate. I mean, probably the write-off, but
mm-hmm.
the experiments and coding would be very hard, I guess.
Yeah. I know it doesn't look very promising either way, right? Not submitting and submitting. But I feel like there's too many things going on already.
Mm-hmm.
And adding one more thing would just dilute everything else.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So we have, at least I don't feel that I will have too much time at all to work on one more paper.
So,
and these guys, I know Leo is very busy and Daniel is trying to figure out things that he hasn't written. Busy with that. I don't know, Daniel, do you think that you can do whatever is needed for Coriolis plus this at the same time? And plus the version work?
Well, it would be hard if we're going to do it.
Are you doing any courses this semester?
I'm also taking serious computation.
Yeah.
So it takes some time just to study
theory. I think probably you don't want to get over your head.
Yeah.
And the virtualization course that I told you about.
Yeah. Although it's unfortunate, I don't think we should push to the supercomputing then, based on all of this information. And it's just for our own sanity, I think we should drop it. I think we can find another venue.
There's one in January, right?
In January, yes. There is one. Yeah, so we could try for that one.
And work on it during the fall?
And work on it during the fall, yeah. Yeah, that may be a possibility.
I think we can definitely take care of the experiments and the writing as well.
Yeah, I think. And have a good overview of all the code.
Right.
You mean in the fall?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try to come up with a sketch of the paper in that time I have.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have an idea of what experiments we need.
Okay, so alright, so if that's the case, then we don't really have to beat ourselves right now, trying to figure out.
So we could also send something like a workshop paper to EDSW?
EDSW. We could, yeah. That's usually in November.
Because I think if we just put it there, I mean, most of the interested people will go to that.
Yeah.
In that workshop. And it's held in conjunction with the SEED.
Okay.
Like probably that's because that way we don't have to
spend too much time
on it, and we will get the benefit that we want.
What did I do? I pressed some magic key combination.
Probably you have some message on the window. Why don't you put that? It's on post.
No.
No?
I don't see anything. What about this guy? Oh, there you go. That's what it is.
Is it useful? Did you know that?
What?
That kind of problem, is it useful?
Sorry.
To find a hidden image.
Oh. By the way, I don't even know if there is a PDSW workshop this year.
Why not?
I don't see anything for 2012.
There was.
2011. But it could be that there is slow. Okay, so submission was September 16th. So yeah, it's a bit too early for that. Compared to last year's submission date, right? PDSW is okay. It's not a great venue, but it's probably okay.
No, but what I mean is that the same people, I mean, we won't have the same scope that we're getting, that we wanted that work to have.
It feels that the readership may be limited a little bit for the final paper.
Okay.
I mean, it would probably be seen, I mean, by the people who show up at the workshop, and it's more targeted audience that way. It's like targeted Google advertising,
mm-hmm.
in that it's more relevant. I agree. But if you just look at the people who are not going to be at the workshop, then we may see some limited impact of that. PDSW is not the most visible workshop. Okay, so then let's defer the versioning discussion to later.
Okay.
We have other things going on.
Okay, so in summary, so I'm gonna revise this document and send it to you later.
And then
today.
We need to start working on the changes.
Then yeah, we'll send it to the shepherd. Probably he doesn't respond and
yeah. I think we need to make those changes anyway.
Yeah, and yeah, start working on the changes by ourselves, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think we can meet sometime next week, maybe same time.
Yeah, same time next week should be fine.
Yeah. All right.